to be someone who lives a life of faith doesn't mean that it has to look a certain way. I think I grew up in a religious home, kind of surrounded by people who loved God dearly and loved him well. But when I entered the real world and I tried to apply that to my own life, it didn't fit. And so it ended up feeling like I was playing a part when I went to church.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by both books, Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself, and the follow-up bestseller, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. Head over to Amazon.com, pick up both books. They are available in a trifecta of paperback, audio, and ebook. Cop all three of both and be on the lookout for another book from yours truly to help podcasters succeed. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special awesome human for you today, courtesy of the wonderful site known as PodcastGuest.com, a wonderful site where aspiring guests can have a digital one-page media sheet where folks all over the web can find them, invite them to their shows, and possibly invite them to speak at their organizations. And for those who are podcast hosts, hey, your podcast can be featured in email news blasts to thousands of people across the globe. And today's wonderful needle in the haystack, or should I say golden needle in the haystack, is a super special awesome human who is a wonderful mom, a wife, a licensed social worker, hospice chaplain, and most of all, a minister. So she's a fellow child of the king and a woman of the cloth, y'all. So let's give it up for the excellent and heavenly Emily Hill. How you doing today, Emily?
I'm good. Hello. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the introduction. I don't think I've ever sounded quite as fancy before.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely fit the bill indeed for good stuff. That's right indeed. Even if you're in Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Even if
she's lucky. I'm like, hey, wait a sec. She probably has some food online. Thought she was in North Kakalaki. I was gonna make a Petey Pablo reference, and she says she was in Pittsburgh. I'm like, oh, what the heck? I got my people confused. So she snuck in this time. So I'll be nice.
I did. Yep.
Yes, indeed. That's right, indeed. If when you're in the pulpit, you don't use a terrible towel for a prayer rag, do you?
No, I do not. I do not. We use them for a lot of things, but not that.
Oh, okay, good. All right, good. All right, yeah, you're good people. Oh, man. Well, hey, as with all introductions, not allowed to be 33.5 million years long, and it probably only covered, I don't know, 3 months. So am I filling in any cavities I may have missed about you that makes you the Emily that you are today?
No, you really kind of hit the highlight reel of kind of what consumes my daily life. Wife, mom, social worker, chaplain, kind of all the things, and recently dabbled in the world of authoring and publishing a book. So
I got all of it? Nothing else?
Yeah, I think you got all of it. I dabble in karaoke and puzzling and all sorts of other, you know, super cool hobbies. But no, you hit most of the things that make me who I am.
So what's your favorite karaoke song?
Well, now that you introduced me as a woman of the cloth, I hate to say it, but it's Gold Digger by Kanye West.
Wait, which song by Kanye West? Which song?
Gold Digger. Gold Digger. It's won me some competitions and everything. So yeah, that's kind of my go-to karaoke song.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as you say ninja, then we'll be okay.
Right.
Yes, indeed. We don't need to go to Salem witch trials now. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. But hey,
Nope,
so
nope, nope.
oh man, well there you go. Hey, song is true, even though he fell victim to his own song. But hey, that's a whole other podcast topic. So my, so was social work always something you wanted to do as a little girl at 13?
Well, it actually was. I was drawn to it when my grandfather had terminal cancer, and I stayed at his bedside when I was 7 years old. And I just kind of gravitated toward that sacred and special time of life, even when I was really young. And from that time on, my goals were to become a social worker and work in hospice. And that wasn't kind of as direct of a path as I thought it was going to be, but I did eventually work in hospice, both as a chaplain and as a social worker. I have recently stepped out of that, and I now work in a hospital setting instead of hospice. But yeah, social work and especially that realm of hospice care and end of life is something I've definitely planned on doing since I was little.
Oh wow. Okay. All right. There you go. So what was your probably your major lesson learned from the dying in a way?
I've learned a lot about what it means to look back on your life and kind of what people most remember, what they most regret or hang on to or kind of ponder. And so it's really been interesting over the years to then look at my own life, like my day-to-day life, and kind of wonder, is this the life I want to remember, years from now, hopefully years from now, if I'm approaching end of life, and just kind of living more in the moment in preparation for the future.
Yeah, that's right indeed. Them good old reflections. That's right indeed. Even
Mm-hmm.
though sometimes reflections become regrets, like, dang gummit, I know I should have did this thing. Now
Right.
what?
Right. Yeah. Like regretting what you did, regretting what you didn't do, and kind of all of that gets woven into to the experience when you're facing, kind of knowing that it all might be ending. But it's really a privilege to step into that phase of life with people and kind of walk through it with them.
Ah, that's right indeed, and being a pastor's kid too, no less. So I guess that helped out with the chaplain duties.
It did. Yeah. I never thought that was going to be part of my story growing up as a kid. It's really kind of been a journey. I recently got my Master's of Divinity when I was, in my 30s and had two little kids at home and just felt led into that space. And it really does blend well with a heart of a social worker and someone raised in a faith-based home. And so, yeah, it's been definitely a journey for sure.
There you go. So I'll talk about it today. There you go. That's right. She's being social. That's right indeed. Butterflies way, spreading that hope. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. And no fairy dust required either.
No, definitely not.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, so with growing up in the faith and then probably growing up after, I wouldn't say after the faith in a way, but like growing up having to be in the real world and then putting it to the test. So when did your Christian walk become real for you?
I think it became most real when I hit a rock bottom of sorts. Like I had grown up in the faith in a beautiful family and home and kind of had like the picturesque faith upbringing and I got married and everything was going pretty well. And then, about a decade into marriage and raising kids, I ended up having a miscarriage about a month after my husband had a vasectomy. So it was just a moment of heartbreak and grief that I wasn't prepared for, and kind of a path in life that I didn't know how to face. And I think it was in trying to figure out all of that, that I realized a gap had grown in general between my real life and my religion. And I wasn't living out all of the faith statements that I was proclaiming. And so I really had to face head on some big questions. My marriage was in shambles. There was some addiction issues kind of riddled through my home. And there was this deep grief. And I really had to figure out, who is this God that I have told so many people about? And so that's when I really kind of had to just sit down with him, with the person who I believed him to be, but also who I wasn't sure who he was anymore, and kind of navigate all of that with God. And that's kind of what brought me to some really hard questions, but also to some answers that I don't think I was ever brave enough to face before either.
That's right, indeed. I'm glad you made it out of that situation, because it sounded like it was definitely rough day. Because, hey, grief can definitely suck. It's like, man, getting a vasectomy, which I imagine is painful, then a miscarriage, which is double as painful, and then, of course, Addiction City, which is never a fun city to be in.
Yeah, it kind of felt like everything just kept piling on. Like, first it was just a couple things, and then it just, everything can become really overwhelming in life really easily when you're already weighed down by something like grief or loss or addiction or, you know, anything like that. It can just feel then like everything is piling up around you, for sure.
So through the grace of God, you're able to get out of it then. Sounds like,
mm-hmm, for sure. Yes. Nothing but the grace of God. I as a person of faith, you know, I definitely placed a lot in his hands, sometimes hesitantly or maybe reluctantly at first, but I do believe that without him, I don't know that I would have been able to navigate through everything.
So how was that road to recovery?
Bumpy, painful, definitely some missed turns on my part, veering off path. But I would say that, and it took longer than I would have thought or would have wanted. And I think that's something that I had to learn about faith too, is that it's not always the shortcut. It's sometimes the long way around.
So I had to take the wiener dog route then.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, they definitely feels like rough times indeed. But hey, good news is, came out on the other side indeed. So mm-hmm. I'm guessing, was the drugs and alcohol that was part of the addiction, or something way different, like, I don't know, social media attention?
Yeah, no, it was alcohol. Not me, but somebody very close to me. And I mean, I struggle with my own addiction, so to speak. I think we all have vices that we lean on and cling to when life gets hard, right? Like, we all have things that we sort of go toward, even if we know that they're not best for us. And I think that kind of the dark and the rough stretches of life really highlight those, if we're paying attention, and we can kind of figure out maybe where we're directing our attention or where we're seeking comfort that maybe isn't the healthiest or the most helpful for our long-term success, our long-term happiness, and all of that.
Indeed, long-term happiness, indeed. That's right, indeed. So I imagine you did some journaling during that time eventually, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's actually what led to the book. I didn't think that I was going to write a book at the beginning of all of this. It was sort of born, though, out of some journal entries and sitting down with God. My husband had actually ended up in the hospital, and I picked him up from the hospital on New Year's Eve. And I remember sitting at home and just at a time when you're kind of celebrating this new year and looking ahead to what you hope the next 365 days are going to hold. And I remember telling God, like, I wasn't looking forward to the year ahead because the one behind had been terrible. And I felt him asking me to just spend some time with him. And, you know, if you don't come from a faith background, that probably sounds a little weird, but it just felt like I was being called to just be with him and pay attention to what he was trying to tell me. So every day I would just intentionally like spend time with my Bible and in prayer and kind of start these journal entries. And that's what eventually turned into the book that's a devotional study that kind of shares a lot of the personal anecdotes from that time of my life and kind of throughout the trajectory of my life, but also then some insights that I believe he shared with me from his word during that time.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Insights, indeed. Those everyday epiphanies, y'all. That's right,
yeah.
Indeed.
Right? Like, I think God shows up so much in our lives in ways that it's not like trying to over-spiritualize your day-to-day life by any means. Like, I'm not, you know, but I think that in the messiness of life, in the murkiness of life, that God is present in all of it. And so that's where kind of the idea of everyday epiphany came from. Because in the church world, we talk about this time of epiphany, like when the wise men were following the light and found baby Jesus and kind of knew who he was and what he was bringing to the world. And so I think we can have sort of those moments of light in our everyday lives that remind us that God's present in all of it, and that there's purpose and that there's plans for us kind of in the midst of our everyday lives.
Yeah, that's right indeed. So out of curiosity, did you ever receive the divine revelation from on high on whether dinosaurs go to heaven or not?
I have not. No, but I'm hoping for it, right? Like, that's one of those burning questions that my kids have thrown my way, along with a lot of other crazy ones. But yeah, no, still trying to figure out if dinosaurs go to heaven.
That's right indeed. The party ain't over till the dinosaur sings, y'all. That's right indeed.
Right?
They'd be singing that blessed assurance. That's right indeed.
Right.
Ain't no medias up here. Name of the game, Angel Wi-Fi.
Right. Yeah, no, still trying to figure that one out.
Yep, when I figured out that one, I'm like, yep, I'm going to dump this on for laughs and giggles and see what it's like.
Yeah.
That's right, indeed. Her life's mission is to find out whether they go to heaven or not.
Right. Once I figure that out, I'll know that I've made it.
That's right, indeed. So I guess you still have the daily journaling process, or is that something you just do every other day?
I try to do it daily. I'm honestly not, you know, perfect. I do lead a pretty busy life, and so it does take intentionality, right? Like, it's really easy for me to move that to the bottom of my list, to wake up and start laundry or go to the gym or get caught up on an episode of Real Housewives. But I try to dedicate that time daily to spending time with God, spending time journaling. It helps to focus my attention where I believe it's best focused, and it helps to kind of clear my mind of the normal places that it likes to wander that usually aren't the healthiest. So yeah, definitely still try to do that.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. So does that mean we have another book on the way, Everyday Epiphanies Part 2?
Yeah, I've been working on it. I'd like to see it move into a series, maybe leaning into different times of life and different seasons and things like that. So I do have a second one in the works, but still trying to navigate the first book process. It was kind of a whole unknown world to me. So trying to figure it out as I go along.
There you go. Figuring it out. One polygon at a time. That's right indeed. That's
yep.
Right indeed. So my goodness, my goodness. So since you're starting to get on more of interviews promoting the good work that you're doing, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
Oh, I mean, you asked the burning question that I have already about if dinosaurs go to heaven, but if I mean, I don't know that there's a question that I wish people would ask necessarily, but I do want people to know that to be someone who lives a life of faith doesn't mean that it has to look a certain way. I think I grew up in a religious home, kind of surrounded by people who loved God dearly and loved him well. But when I entered the real world and I tried to apply that to my own life, it didn't fit. And so it ended up feeling like I was playing a part when I went to church and then becoming someone else when I was at home or at work, and it just, everything started to feel so inauthentic because I was trying to be who I thought someone who believed in God was, and what they looked like and what they sounded like and what they said. And it wasn't until I really started living authentically as someone who dearly loves Jesus, but also enjoys a glass of wine and curses quite a bit. But I think it wasn't until I figured out how to authentically love God and be who he created me and designed me to be that I really discovered what it meant to follow Jesus and to really show others who he is. So that's kind of my hope, is that people don't feel like following God has to fit you into a certain mold or a certain place, but that the ability to love God and live that out in your everyday life can look like uniquely you and be a really beautiful process to go through.
There you go. That process to go through indeed. That's right indeed. So does that mean Emily is here for the baby mamas?
Yeah, I am. I am. That name, that kind of moniker came out when I was in seminary. My husband actually came up with it about being a baby mama minister. So I've kind of adopted it and continue to use it, but
yeah. You should know that question was coming because I'm like, hey, I couldn't even find this on Instagram first. Like, oh, baby, mama missed. Like, all right, so is she for the baby mamas,
yeah.
Mamas? Like,
it's like, yeah, I'm for everybody. I think that we take ourselves too seriously sometimes when we try to be, you know, people of the cloth, as you said. And I just want to love Jesus and live life in a way that allows people to see, you know, how good he is, even if I'm not the most perfect person.
Woohoo! Amen to that. Great. Me like it indeed. That's right. Indeed. So my goodness, so what are you excited about over the next 6 to 12 months?
Oh, geez. I mean, I have two little kids that are growing up too fast. So definitely we have Christmas and some birthdays and things like that, but trying to book some speaking gigs and keep marketing the book and working on a second one, because I want to be a voice that I didn't hear when I was growing up in the church, and just be someone who can kind of maybe open doors for others to hear God for the first time, or to connect with him in a new way. That would be kind of my goals and my dreams for the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, there you have it, folks. That's right today. Book Emily for your church show event. That's right indeed. She's got you covered, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. Indeed. It's a fun question for you. If your fabulous book, Everyday Epiphany, Discovering God in Every Moment, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, it were a food, I think it would be a charcuterie board. I think it would be a charcuterie board, because it really is this opportunity to just pick it up, snack on it, spend some time with it if you want to, or if you only have 2 or 3 minutes, you know, just kind of nibble at it for that amount of time that you have, and then put it down and come back to it. Growing up in the church world, there's always like devotionals and study books and things like that, and usually they're kind of designated for when you're supposed to read them and how, and this is much more like pick it up and do it when it works for your life. So I would say it's a charcuterie board, because it has some things in it too that are a little bit salty, a little bit sweet, and kind of a good mix of all sorts of tastes in it as well.
Oh, taste and see.
I can tell you grew up in a church or two. You got the lingo down.
That's right indeed. It's not just for LA. There's a ram in the bush somewhere. Let me stop.
Right.
Yes, indeed. That's right indeed. It means there's enough for everybody. All enough epiphanies for everybody. That's right indeed.
Yeah.
Emily's got light bulbs for you.
And it's best to share, right? Like, I would love for it to spark conversations, give people a chance to kind of talk about their own lives. Like, it's a lot of stories about me, but the goal is that my stories allow you the chance to look at your own life and your own stories and figure out where God was in those moments for you.
Yeah, so I'm talking about indeed. That's right indeed. You could be in a forest somewhere and he knows where you at. That's right indeed.
Mm-hmm.
That's right indeed. Could even be in the rainforest, be like, yeah, let it all rain mm-hmm. down on you.
mm-hmm.
Oh, man, so we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you don't wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Slow down. I remember being 25 and thinking that my clock was ticking so fast, and kind of looking around and comparing to everyone and feeling like, you know, you needed to kind of hit all of these sort of made up landmarks of life. And so I think at 25, I would have already been married with probably both of my kids born at that point. And I just felt like I was in such a rush to do all the things that I thought I was supposed to do to be a grown up. And so I think if I could relive that stage of life, I would slow down. I don't know that I would make any different decisions, but not feel like I was in such a rush to get through life.
There you go. That's right indeed. Don't have to rush it all the time. That's right, indeed. Besides, sounds like someone already swiped you off the market early.
Yeah. Yes, he did. He did.
Yes, indeed. He's like, yes, I see curves. You are not escaping
Yeah.
that.
Yep. How'd you know?
He's like, righteous curves will not escape
Right.
from me today.
Right.
I
Right.
will not let my blessing be blocked.
Yep. It's
That's
about
right,
it.
indeed.
Yeah.
That's right, indeed. She's gonna get these two mustard seeds real quick. Let me stop. Yeah, folks, that's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Take that breath, y'all. Meditate a little bit. That's right, indeed. Don't have to rush it all the time. That's right, indeed. Just picture a pink golf ball inside of your mind. That's right. That's right, indeed. And then picture a rubber duck right next to it. That's right, indeed. Yep. That's right, indeed. And if the devil comes at you in the form of a pink cupcake, then, well, just duck. And make sure the goose isn't gray. So, my goodness, so for those who need to keep a magical contact with you, hey, keep it with your journey and all the things that you're doing, and cop some copies of your magical book. What's the best way for folks to do so, Emily?
You can find me on Instagram at Baby Mama Minister, email babymamaminister@gmail.com, or Everyday Epiphany by EmilyHill.com. Can connect you with the book and speaking gigs and all the good things. But yeah, reach out if you have any hard-hitting questions, like do dinosaurs go to heaven? I'd love to hear those as well.
Ah, as I'm talking about days, I'm talking about day. Well, there you have it, folks. Going to put a link to all of Emily's goodies and wares in the magical show notes. That way you can keep up with her and her journey and what she's got cooking up next. Indeed, that's right. Indeed, more words of wisdom, encouragement, maybe even some humor. You heard her pretty giggle throughout the whole entire episode. So, I mean, she's all about the magical humor. So, keep up with her and do all the good stuff. Slide into the DMs and be like, hey, I have some baby mamas in my life. I need help. Let me stop.
Yeah, hit me up. Not like that, just for insight, advice, and maybe a little prayer.
There you go. She's got you covered, Bon Jovi style, living on a prayer. You love to see it.
Yep.
You love to see it indeed. Well, any parting words before we close up shop, Emily?
No, thank you so much for having me though, and if you do pick up my book, I'd love to hear if you have any of your own epiphanies. I love to hear when people share kind of the moments that they've seen God show up in their life or realize when he was present when they thought they were alone. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.